In the essence of time, I would like to proffer the entertainment of a motion to readjust the agenda and to move item number 19 to the next item on the agenda. Number 19 is request for funding projects by the Recreational and Commercial Fishing Advisory Boards.
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Robbins, second.
Second.
Second by Dr. McConaughey. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Who's handling this? Sonia? Okay. Looks like it's perfectly split. Thank you. What we will do in this situation is I understand that there are a number of different projects. I understand that there's one specific project that, based on stakeholders such as this, has gained probably a little more attention than other items on there. So what I would like to do is I would like for you to please discuss the Menhaden funding study first. Give me the background of it. Advise me what votes were and different things and what you believe to be appropriate and germane information to this. We'll then hear from those who wish to speak on the matter, and also we have a number of different individuals in the audience that I think want to be heard on the matter as well. So we'll take that one first and move along. Proceed.
In your division evaluation, it was requested a split funding between the commercial and recreational board. So for the commercial board, this study is listed as item number H. And for the recreational board, it was item number R. Just quickly, you do have the status of the funds. Commercial Marine Improvement Fund is $286,705, and that is an estimate for 2007. And the estimate for the Recreational Fishing Development Fund is $2,950,289. The Commercial Fishing Advisory Board only had one attendee, but I did survey the other members as far as how they felt about the project. Two supported partial funding with the recreational fund, three did not support funding, and two abstained from the vote. For the recreational vote on this project, they supported 9-0, $313,403. Provided that the commercial board would kick in the $50,000. We do have an updated budget, and I believe a representative from the Virginia Institute of Marine Science will update you on the new budget.
Okay. Yes.
One of the comments that we heard questions, I guess, consistently throughout both the commercial and recreational reviews on this project is, wow, this is an expensive project. Is there any way that BIMS can lower the funding request to get this work done without affecting substantially the work that needs to be done to meet the objectives of the project?
Right.
In fact, the original project was submitted at a cost of $1.1 million. That didn't last long. It was clear in discussions with the recreational board that's a full 3 years of the study. That was lowered by VIMS to $788,000. And then a couple of days ago, I contacted Lyle Varnell, who followed through the chain of command over at VIMS to to see if they would be willing to further reduce the indirect cost rate that they charge on these projects. And they have agreed to do that. They've lowered it from, I believe, 25% to 15%, which lowers the total three-year budget from the $788,000 to $725,221. So that's the total three-year value that you're working with. Now, if you break that out by year, and again, we're only asking for funding for the first year. All of these projects that the commercial and recreational boards look at are funded on an annual basis and undergo further reviews to get further funding down the road. So the first year total that we're looking for is $334,331. And, of course, that would be split between the two funds. Of course, staff is recommending that we use $50,000 of the commercial fund. There's simply, as Sonia said, there's simply nowhere near enough money in the commercial fund to fund even half of the projects that were before them. Our first priorities, we thought, were to continue those multi-year projects that are now being funded by the commercial board to keep them going. Otherwise, you will have wasted the first year's funding on those projects. And if you do that, then there's very little funding left over. And we think the priority is this Menhaden project. So we would suggest you take the $50,000 out of the commercial fund, and then the remainder, as was supported by motion from the recreational board, they would pick up the remainder.
So the total that we're talking about from the rec board is $313,403?
It would be less than that now.
Okay.
If you're going to still use the $50,000 from the commercial.
Correct.
Then you would subtract $50,000 from the $334,000.
$334,000, I'm sorry. Got the exact number?
I don't have the exact number.
$284,331 from the commercial. So that's what's before the commission for consideration of approval.
That's the staff recommendation.
That's the staff's recommendation. And the amount of from the recreational board was approved by the board 9-0.
Only 7-2 was the vote.
It was 7-2? Okay. Just want to get all my numbers straight. And one person at the commercial board poll was done. They're opposed to it 2-3-2.
Yes, it was telephone conversations with those folks because we did not get a quorum at the meeting.
Okay. Is the commission now cognizant of what the numbers are that we're dealing with has been asked for? Okay.
I have a question.
Dr. McConaughey.
What are the out year figures, the 2 and 3?
Year 2 is $236,439. And year 3 is $154,452.
Combined.
That's combined. That's total project cost for those years.
Mr. Fox.
Since we're talking about the numbers, Jack, would there be any possibility to, in the last year, to take $25,000 out of all of this total somewhere and add another $25,000 that's not in the total of $725,000 and make a condition that if the report is submitted on time, there's $50,000 available for the project. If the report is a day late, that $50,000 goes away.
Can I check with counsel real fast? Is a performance clause, would a performance clause be
This is totally within your discretion.
Okay.
These are not even subject to judicial review.
That's all I need to know. So, Jack?
So, according to Coral, this is totally within our jurisdiction.
Within discretion.
Within our discretion.
These are grants of state funds.
Right.
Not even subject to judicial review.
When projects like this are funded, as you'll do today on a number, there is a contract that is written between the two agencies that spell out the conditions of the conditions of doing the work and things like reporting requirements, quarterly reports, annual reports. And you can add things like that to it if you see fit.
Any other questions of Jack?
I mean,
I'm sorry.
The reason I raised this is it was related in here that this was similar to an EIS, and we can't have an EIS in Virginia, and I wish we'd had a performance bond on the performance incentive on the EIS and oysters that we're working on. But
I will say we, in our discussions with Dr. Kirkley, in
who is here and available for questions,
putting the proposal together, we have impressed upon him, to the best of our abilities, the need to complete this work in the designated time frame. So he's well aware of the need to finish the work.
Further questions? I think since we're going this format, what I'd like to do is hear from Dr. Kirkley, any comments that he may have, and then those that are in opposition to the allocation will be heard as well. Dr. Kirkley?
I need to be sworn in?
No, sir.
Good. I have a hard time with that.
We're in the fisheries aspect of it.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. Thanks, all of you, for taking the time. This is a project that has long been in the making. The issues regarding menhaden are not going to go away, and it's something that absolutely must be addressed. What's the importance of this critter to society? And the importance of that goes beyond the standard aspects of how important this is in terms of an industry. It is an important industry in the Commonwealth, no doubt. It also is an industry that I think everybody knows that without it, probably a lot of minorities particularly would not be making the income they're making. And that's an important consideration regarding this industry. But what we've done in collaboration with requests from Mr. Travelstead and from Assistant Secretary Corbin is attempt to put together a proposal based on questions and issues raised collectively. And that's in terms of what does this critter not only contribute as an industry, what does it contribute relative to water quality, what does it contribute relative to prey, what does it contribute to society's enjoyment, living in coastal areas, for example, bird watching, sounds crazy, but there are issues related to seabirds and the abundance and availability of menhaden. How significant? I have no idea. When all is said and done, this project went from a nice compact thing to one that became very, very complicated. I'm not going to lie to you. This is an enormous undertaking. It's doable. It's standard textbook stuff in economics, but the actual numbers are not standard textbook. All right. And on top of that, there also was an interest in doing what's called a social impact assessment. That means the whole nine yards. I have to put an anthropologist into communities to live for weeks at a time. It's the only way you can do proper anthropological field work to do a full-blown social impact assessment. And I'm bringing that up in particular because one of the issues was cost. The first year cost is very large because we have somebody out in the field, an anthropologist. And I can't expect that person to sleep in his or her car. So it's an enormous undertaking. It's very expensive. In addition to all of that, on an international basis, this is where fisheries management is going. It's going towards a direction called ecosystem management. There's two fields. Ecosystem-based approach to fisheries management, which means you tweak the ecosystem relative to the fisheries. And then there's ecosystem management, which means you're looking at the entire ecosystem. You know, and this study is attempting to bring this together at some point in the future to provide a basis of information should Virginia, which they will, go forward with ecosystem-based management. That this study has a lot of bits and pieces and issues to be addressed. So if there's any more questions, I'll do my best to answer them.
Dr. Kirkley, I have one question.
Yes, sir.
You used the phrase that went from a small study to very complicated. Can you explain that statement, please?
Yes, sir. I'll do my best. Initially, this proposal looked as though it was going to be a study of what does the Menhaden industry contribute to the Commonwealth in terms of its economic ramifications and its social importance. To do that kind of study basically comes down to, again, some anthropological work out in the field. You go to the Reed Bill and the other communities, and you find out how people are thriving, living, interacting, doing what because of Menhaden. You can identify the social importance. You then also can do the economic ramifications by putting together a series of what we call economic impact models that lets you allows you to estimate how much does this industry contribute to the economy locally and to the state in terms of jobs, taxes, sales, and income derived. Well, the question then became, and if need be, I guess Jack can clarify this, not to put Jack on any spot, but I think it came through the assistant secretary or higher, is what's the real value of this critter? And the real value of this critter goes way beyond what this industry contributes to the economy and to the employment base and to the cultural base. Right? If people really are out there bird watching and there's a relationship between the abundance and availability of Menhaden and the enjoyment people get from bird watching, that's an important value. We do those types of economic valuations all the time. Many of you probably every time, if any of you go recreational angling, which I assume many of you do, you all receive value in excess of what you're paying. You don't even really have a true market to go buy your recreational experience, but you get value. So in any event, it then went, well, what else here? Well, there's an issue about water quality. If Menhaden abundance goes up or reaches certain levels, will water quality go up? Will it decline? Will it remain stagnant, unchanged? But if it does go up, then there's an economic benefit. If it goes down because Menhaden are dying off and you have lousy water quality, well, then there's a cost. All right. The same thing, the standard three species of fish that are identified as important game fish would be the trout, sea trout, bluefish, and striped bass, supposedly all prey on Menhaden. Now, that means Menhaden has a role to contributing to the value of the recreational angling experience for recreational anglers in terms of its prey role. It also contributes to the commercial guys in terms of the weight and quality of the fish they're catching and putting in the market. Well, when you start taking those factors into account, this, quote, cross-the-board economic societal value and social impact state or assessment, you're now having to cross boundaries, state boundaries. There's no sign out there in the bay that says this is Maryland, this is Virginia. The fish don't read. So they don't know. So you have to expand into the state of Maryland to start looking at the full-blown social and economic ramifications of the importance of Menhaden. If there's anglers in Maryland, say, and they're fishing the same species, well, Menhaden has a role. And so do some of the communities. There is a handful of small bait fisheries also in Maryland, Menhaden bait, which again comes to play into the economic importance. So what happens is that this project grows and it morphs. And I personally think the secretary and Mr. Travelstead were asking the absolute correct questions.
Well, that was going to be my next question. As an academician who spent a lot of time in economics and those things, would you think that that is an important part of the overall aspect in the grand scheme of things?
I think it's absolutely critical to not consider the full realm of the economic importance to society, its value, and its social ramifications would be a disservice.
And benefits can go up or down depending upon what the findings are. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. Well, the way I approach all studies is I don't have a preconceived notion on these things. All I'm going to do is I'm going to go there, and when I'm done, I'm going to say, here's a set of numbers. You guys do what you want. You own this. I would be disheartened if you threw it in the trash, but it probably wouldn't be the first thing I've had in my life end up in the trash.
Okay. Does anybody, I'm sure, I'll run down the line. Dr. McConaughey first.
Well, I have several questions. In reading your proposal, I don't really see how you're linking the ecology, like bird watching and value of Menhaden. That doesn't come out in your proposal, and I've read a lot of proposals. I don't see how you're linking that together and where your personnel is, your ecological personnel.
The attempt was to try to work with our own faculty at VIMS on these issues. They are conducting studies looking at some of the aspects of water quality in Menhaden, They're not really looking at seabirds. We've done similar studies, however, where you don't have to, it's unfortunate, but I'll be upfront and honest with you, you don't have to have the hard science to figure out what society's deriving in value. We've done this with horseshoe crabs and bird watching up and down the coast. You can use what's called a stated preference framework. It's stated preference falls under this. I try to avoid these buzzwords in the proposal, but it falls under the framework of something called contingent valuation, where you create hypothetical markets. It's not, it's internationally accepted, it's internationally done, it's internationally promoted. If I could get an ecologist to work on this, I would be more than glad to, but I would be coming back, my guess is asking for another $100,000 to $150,000 to fund that ecologist. That may not be a satisfactory answer, but that's the most honest one I can give you.
Right. So you're basically going to pick some proxies for ecological value to relate to bird watching and these other...
I wouldn't call them proxies. It would be, and they won't be willingness to pay questions either. You try to design these contingent valuation or stated preference things in such a way that if you lie on your response, you see some penalty. Okay, but no, I mean, there's nobody going to be sitting there slapping you in the head or pouring cold water on you. But you try to design these questions so that if you give a wrong answer, you will know in your head that you are penalizing yourself. This is widely used, but at the same time, I'm going to tell you another side thing that goes with this, that this BMRC was not asked for funding in any way, shape, or form, is because exactly of the issue you're bringing up. We got together with NOAA and the state of Maryland, Maryland Sea Grant, to provide funding to host an international workshop on best methods for doing some of these very, very difficult assessments. And the plan is to bring in, I mean, I would like to think I'm a big shot and top gun, but I know better in this field. There's guys out there who can blow me away in terms of expertise and knowledge. And so the plan is to bring in some of these top guns internationally, pay them $7,500, again, costing this group nothing, right? This is going to be NOAA money, right, to pay for this, to come up to a consensus and say, we have the best method. The reason why for doing that is because this is such a controversial issue, so sensitive, so broad-based, that the plan is to have enough of these top guns to say, look, best method worldwide, can't do any better. That may not satisfy some people in any type of analysis where people have a personal stake. There's always perceived gainers and losers. And so it's to me like being married. It don't matter what I say to my wife. I'm going to lose someday.
So the workshop you mentioned in your proposal is already funded by NOAA.
Yes, sir. It is, and not only is it funded, Doug Lipton at the University of Maryland and I are already pursuing developing that workshop and sent out some initial contacts for individuals to participate. One being V. Kerry Smith at North Carolina, he's getting older like a lot of us, but he's got more wits than I'll ever have. We have another one, Nick Hanley from Australia. We've sent something to a fellow named Barbier, who actually is a PhD ecologist and PhD economist, to bring him on, because he's done a lot of this work globally, particularly through FAO, and because I do a lot of work through FAO. And so I say we're trying to bring in the best of the best on this, so that when all is said and done, people who want to criticize it, they're going to be left criticizing. Just it's going to be obvious as to why they're criticizing it. They're not going to be able to have a foot to stand on in terms of methodologies, at least. And that's also another reason, I don't want to call it padding the bill, but why we have several resources in this proposal. If you notice, if you read the proposal, we have Ted McConnell and Ivor Strand and Rob Hicks. Ted McConnell's former twice president of the American Resource Economics Association. It was odd. Somebody made a comment on non-market valuation. Ted's most recent textbook is on non-market valuation. It just came out. He has three textbooks. He's a top hired gun. Another one is Ivor Strand, and I've worked with Ivor. Ivor was very fortunate in that he has a wonderful contract that he finished. He recertified every power plant in the United States of America, dealing with the economic component of it, the valuation that you have from intake and discharge. And then we have Rob Hicks on here, who's one of the best guys I've ever seen. Some of you may not know this, but we call it maximum likelihood estimation, which is a mathematical statistical specification for estimating parameters. This guy writes this stuff in his sleep. He's young, he's upcoming, but you always bring somebody along who's really willing to work a lot harder than some of us older guys.
Thank you. Mr. Fox?
Dr. Kirkley, I noticed your name in the MOU, and then I noticed from reading through here that there's absolutely no one who questions your capability of running this project, and so I was pleased to see that, and now after hearing you a while, I'm even more pleased that you will be doing it.
I was going to say, I hope you didn't change your mind.
Not yet.
Nice to be low.
I was also pleased to see that you responded to the comments made by the peer reviewers of your thing. What I didn't see was we have a letter from Mr. Gaskin at Omega Protein in which he raises several questions.
Yes, sir.
And perhaps it didn't come in a timely enough manner for you to respond to those questions, but I have a couple of those. The possibility of the menhaden being used as a bait fish and being used as chum for
included. It's now included.
That's included. All right, the second thing is the grazing effect, which I don't know whether it's true or not true, that if they cluster together and they will suck up all the oxygen and then you have dead menhaden on the beach, which I've seen.
That's to be included as well. That was brought to my attention from Mr. Gaskin and other people at Omega, and if you've ever, well, you probably have been around a die-off, it's nasty.
Yeah.
And it's fair game to consider the cost, because that is a societal cost,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's to be included as well. Although I'm not going to stand here and make promises we're going to do A to Z on every single thing, but that's one that can be included and should be included and should have been considered written out in more detail in the proposal.
Okay. And then reading Mr. Gaskin's letter, it seems that he feels in two or three sentences in here that Omega, even though they were included in the MOU, they seem to be neglected since then. No one's asked for their input or their cooperation and so on. I was wondering whether if Omega came up with a non-lobbyist, non-lawyer, Virginian non-lobbyist, non-lawyer, would you have any objection to having someone work with you on this?
I not only don't have an objection, I would propose that Omega, as well as other stakeholder groups, be involved in this as it progresses. This actually, I'll be honest, I hope I'm using this title correctly, Assistant Secretary Corbin, if not, I'll apologize to him later some other day. But when I was up there and met him and spent some time, he said up front, point blank, I want this project to be as transparent as is possible. I want everybody, every stakeholder involved as this thing develops over time. And then, you know, push comes to shove, money, don't know if this is going to be funded. I'm doing this at risk for 5 months. I mean, I'm in a situation where I've spent 5 months working on this where I may have to go to my dean and say, well, I know I worked a year, but I only have half a year's worth of work, so just go ahead and punish me, take my salary away. You know, but we were trying to go forward and do something, but because of the shaky nature of everything, it was decided not to go forward at that time trying to bring in all stakeholders. We decided we would expend our efforts where we could be productive and still maybe salvage something in terms of, I hate to say this, that almighty journal publication, you know, because journal publications count a lot. But the plan would be to bring in as many stakeholders as is feasible as this study goes forward, you know, over time. And the truth of it is without some cooperation from Omega, but we're going to be hard-pressed to do social impact assessment. And that was made clear to me by the Assistant Secretary. That's something that they really want to see, and other people want to see it as well. What is this thing worth culturally, socially, and to the community? You know. So, but the plan is to bring them in.
Well, I think we probably will hear from people from Omega.
Oh, I think you're going to.
And maybe they will be willing to offer up somebody in our discussion. Also, do you have a mechanism, you don't have to explain what it is, but just do you have a mechanism for comparing the relative importance of something like a bird watcher watching a bird that may be over Menhaden and maybe over something else, and compare that economic benefit or economic effect to, let's say, a person working in the Menhaden plant to another person who is catching a fish that fed on a Menhaden maybe, but he also may have fed on a soft crab. Have you got a way of...
Yes, unfortunately, we do have ways.
Yeah.
There's two main approaches to, without the math. There's one called the hedonic household production function approach. That's more than most people want to know. And the other is a stated preference, stated choice framework. The hedonic household production function approach, basically it looks at Menhaden and the output of something, in this case bird watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and by doing statistical modeling of the relationships along with number of trips that people are going for bird watching, so forth and so on, you can calculate marginal values to society of that particular activity. I know bird watching, and I apologize this comes up. Some of you may not know there's the Royal Society for Bird Watching in Great Britain. You should see their studies relating bird watching to industrial species. It blew my mind when I came across it. I couldn't believe they were doing that at the state and magnitude they were doing. So, yes, the answer to your question is yes, there's ways. And just to give you maybe hopefully a little bit of confidence, we're doing something very simple. We're finishing it. Very similar in the Chesapeake Bay region now on stakeholders' preferences. There's something called Chesapeake 2000, which some of you may not know. We're going to save the bay and restore A to Z and do all these wonderful things, and we're going to be $18 billion short. All right, so what we've done with NOAA is we did what's called a stated preference survey that says, okay, you guys, states, so forth, you only have so much money to work with. Where should you be spending your money to make society as best off or as well off as you can? And that's the types of things that will be done in here as well.
Okay, well, I just want your study to show that since I live in Reedville and Mr. Schick lives in Colonial Beach, that the Menhaden is more valuable to me than it is to him.
Well, I don't know. Let's just put it this way. You're not asking me to, but I'll never force the results.
Questions?
As far as quantifying this, you know, I guess there's going to be a lot of observation. Some of it's going to be subjective. How does it all get quantified into a? And so when it gets to us, we can say, you know, we want a sustainable industry, and this is the evidence that shows how to get it.
Rum, lots of rum. I bring that up. It's not a joke, but it sounds like a joke. There's something called a rum model.
Yeah.
Random utility modeling, Nobel Prize winning, a guy who actually worked for me a long time ago, Dan McFadden, because we spent years working the U.S.-Canadian maritime boundary dispute together, and Dan McFadden went on and won the Nobel Prize for the RUM model. And with the RUM model, you can estimate relationships using something called random utility and derive the benefits to society from, particularly in this case, non-market goods and services, is what we're talking about to a great extent. What you will see will be a series of tables and discussions and summaries with values presented, the value of Menhaden relative to this, consumptive uses, non-consumptive uses. I can't think of any direct human consumptive uses of Menhaden. I know it probably makes one of the best laxatives in the world if you eat it, but beyond that, it's healthcare stuff, you know, and its role in poultry and feed. However, all this RUM models, all these input-output models, all these statistical models, and frankly, they're my part of interest, but they're junk because they're only of interest for journals and stuff like that and people who want to take you a new backside. That will be in a technical appendix. So you'll hopefully get a long report, but hopefully it will be written more along the lines of an executive summary. Try to make it as reader-friendly as is possible.
And I guess there's some, over $1 million worth of studies already working in process on Menhaden. How do they come into your study?
What we're trying to do is tap into those studies to build what we call these household production function models or hedonic household production function models that relate, that would allow you to relate the abundance, age class distribution, quality, so forth and so on of Menhaden, all right, to the growth and subsequent recruitment, biomass, et cetera, of striped bass, sea trout, and bluefish, and subsequently relate those. What happens is anglers, you use what's called a trip model for anglers that estimates the demand for recreational trips. And the demand for trips is a function of the recreational experience, and the function of recreational experience is how big are the fish you're catching and how many are you catching per outing. And with that, you can derive all the underlying economic values to society from that. The other thing is to tie into existing water quality studies. I'm not going to fib to anybody. The water quality issue is going to be a real stickler. You know, it's going to be difficult to deal with the water quality just simply because too many menhaden can result in a die-off, and now you've got a bad environment. That's not a good deal. But you have to explicitly consider that. That's the reality of any type of analysis.
Yeah, that was my last question is the water quality issue, is a question, and how is that going to be addressed as far as, the supposed shortfall of menhaden, is it because of the water quality, or is the water quality, being caused, by other sources that are causing them? And, how does that compare to the fishing, right, and the quantities that are being fished and that type of thing? Does that work into the study?
I think I'm going to pull them out of the air. there's something called causality analysis. Does X cause Y? Does Y cause X? Or does X cause Y and Y cause X? These are standard statistical tests you can use to look at statistical relationships as whether or not, in my world, we call Y a dependent variable. That's the thing you're trying to see how it's changing. And then we have this other side of the world called independent or exogenous variables, and those are the X's. So does X cause Y, or does Y cause X? Is there an interaction? And there are standard causality testing for that. But preferably, what I'm hoping to do is tie into some other researchers' work that's going on in that area. That's one of the things that had me scared about tying into the VIMS research, because they are doing some research on water quality and menhaden abundance. And if those results are done, those would be our first choice. If those results are not done, we're probably going to have to do what I'm saying, causality testing and something called meta-analysis, where I'm going to take a million studies from around the world that have looked at fish species, abundance and availability, and water quality, and replicate all them enough times to mimic what's going on with menhaden. I mean, that's the nuts and bolts. That's all you can do. That's the best you can do.
Questions? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two items. First of all, the memorandum of understanding does contemplate a research partnership between Omega Protein and the Commonwealth of Virginia to include ecological and economic aspects, obviously. And in the comments that were offered by Omega, then this follows up on Mr. Fox's comment. They indicate that no one has asked Omega for its input or cooperation, which is especially troubling given the memorandum of understanding. And I just think it would be very appropriate to try to bring them in as early as possible in this process, given their role as a stakeholder.
I've done my time with Jeff, all right, who's one of their representatives, and with Niels Moore, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I've done my time. It didn't come across right. I've spent time meeting with them in private at other functions and meetings, and we've attempted to discuss aspects. Like I say, it would be foolhardy not to bring Omega in. It really would be. I mean, it's just doesn't. It's like going to your boss and punch him in the nose and say, "Give me a pay raise." It's not a real smart thing.
I didn't need an analogy.
Well, I think it would be important to bring them in as early as possible. The other concern I have is related to the causality on the ecological side, and I know you've just discussed the fact that there are some statistical methodologies that deal with causality analysis. Mm-hmm. Having said that, it seems to me that the way those linkages and nexuses are treated in the course of this project are really going to be very critical, I think, in terms of being transparent and fair, et cetera, that's going to require a great deal of care and attention. It seems to me that, like, for example, the water quality is one difficult issue that's already been raised. I mean, how do you how do you deal with causality when, in fact, you could have, you know, some negative implications associated with menhaden abundance related to water quality, or positives?
Right.
I mean, do you intend to deal with the full body of science that's available on these issues, or how do you propose to do that?
I'm going to use other people's science, for starters, to a great extent, as much as is available out there. I'm not going to go out there and do my own independent studies on menhaden abundance and water quality. There's not enough time, there's not enough money to do it. So what you have to do is tap into other people's work that's ongoing right now. Some things to think about on water quality and abundance of menhaden, for lack of a better word, menhaden poop. So too many menhaden and you'll have a bay full of doo-doo. You have this exact problem right now in Japan. They've been so successful with their oysters that they have problems of pollution now from the oysters because there's so many they can't remove the nitrogen issue. Serious problems. So what we will be doing is tapping into existing studies to a great extent, hopefully tapping also into the study that's ongoing at VIMS on this water quality, also doing what's called meta-analysis, which is this thing where you take studies from all over the place on a similar set of issues and attempt to replicate it to your circumstances. I mean, that's the only way we can do it. If someone said, Jim, we really are hard-pressed to do this water quality and menhaden abundance in a real rigorous scientific basis, I would say, sure, you know, we can find you a couple people at VIMS and ODU and whatnot, and you can come up with another $750,000 in several years and go for it. I don't mean that sarcastic. I mean that honestly.
Other questions?
Thank you.
I've got one.
A reviewer was looking at the allocation of your time, and what I didn't see in there was what I normally look for is current and pending funding. Is this the only funding you have?
This is... Okay. Well, I don't know where Jack is. Jack's supposed to come to my rescue, but he's not. You're not my friend anymore. More or less, when this first came up, I informed Jack and Commissioner Bowman and the secretary and my dean and my associate dean, if we do this, I'm doing nothing else for the next 3 years. Absolutely nothing. And you realize by sitting here hanging on this study, I can't even submit a proposal that is very much money. I did submit a small one, an additional follow-up to the commercial board. My plan was that if that were funded, I would be bringing somebody else in to help me do that while I'm doing this. This is a full-time commitment. This is not a small potato project. This is a major full-time obligation, and it's been cleared through my dean. I don't know how happy he is. My guess is I'm out of his hair, so he's probably delighted.
Any other questions? Dr. Kirkley, thank you for your comments.
Thank you all very much.
Susan, omega protein? Good to have you here, ma'am.
As always, it's good to be here. Commissioner Bowman, Associate Commission members, let me make a few clarifying points before I go much further.
For the record, this is Susan Gaston.
Oh, yes. Susan Gaston on behalf of Omega Protein Corporation. I think none of you will disagree with the fact that Omega has a long-standing record of working with science, such as Dr. Kirkley and some of his colleagues, on a variety of issues, and we have always cooperated. We provide access to our boats, our spotter planes, our resources. Whatever the need may be, we have a record of cooperating with science. So let me get that point out there first. That, in turn, of course, implies that we support science, and we do. Sound science, we absolutely support. And we're proud of that because no one has more at stake than the very company that fishes for menhaden. So certainly let me make that again very clear. I am not standing before you opposing science in general, nor am I up here in any way to disparage Dr. Kirkley. In fact, we have the most deepest respect for Dr. Kirkley, and as Mr. Fox pointed out, named him as the principal investigator in the MOU that we reached with the governor's office last summer. He is objective, he is very well known, he is very well respected, and we want to work with him. However, as has been noted, this is a cooperative research agenda. That is what is stated in the MOU. I have had the occasion in the past couple of weeks to speak with Dr. Kirkley, but at no point have we actually sat down and discussed what points will be included in the research agenda. So there, I think, goes to the point that at this stage of the game, we have not discussed the exact agenda that would be followed. In fact, when you all have seen what you have before you is exactly what we have seen. It was presented, but we did not work cooperatively to get before you what is before you. We were never asked. We would want to be asked. We want to help. We want to cooperate. But I do want to make it very clear that has not occurred to this point. We want to cooperate with Dr. Kirkley on a proposal. Ideally, we'd like to go back to what he originally proposed, and I think that has been discussed with you today, too. It did have a much lower cost. The scope was smaller, and that is something that we would want to go back and look at as well. We appreciate the fact the cost has come down again. That was news to me today. I was unaware of that until this afternoon, so we do thank you for that. But what you have before you is not the cooperative research agenda. No one has asked us again. We are concerned that the stakeholders, the birders who've been mentioned, the waterfront property owners, other groups, have been on record as publicly opposing omega protein. I will not say it in any other way except that has been a concern for us. There are a number of end users that we think need to be included, and I feel somewhat better today hearing Dr. Kirkley say that it would include the bait industry, it would include some of the other end users, if you will, of the various products that we provide. But again, we have not been privy to any of those discussions. So to further go on, and I think Dr. McConaughey has raised these issues, Dr. Kirkley's proposal before you is based on some assumptions that even today have not been scientifically enumerated nor discussed at length. And so we are concerned that if his proposal is based on some assumptions, how do we know what the outcome will be of all of that? And for all of this, for the first year to be contingent upon other studies that are in progress is a concern of the companies, too. I think the price tag Mr. Schick brought up is about $1.6 million, current Menhaden studies. That is a lot of money being spent, and we're not certain that what the outcome will bring. It will, in fact, answer some of the questions that everyone has been discussing. So with this before you, I will say that we don't want to oppose science, but we are very concerned about this proposal. We do want to be included in the research agenda in a very cooperative approach. That was the agreement we made with Governor Kaye. We want to adhere to that agreement. But we're not there yet. So I would ask that you reconsider, that you continue to work on the scope, perhaps reduce the scope, reduce the cost. But at this point, omega protein cannot support the proposal that is before you. So I thank you for your time and will certainly address any issues or questions that you may have.
Susan, I have a couple. Wouldn't you agree that as we've gone down the path, we have had dialogue, maybe the dialogue has not been, to this date, exactly what Omega thinks it should have been. I, quite honestly, may be remiss in the fact that I believe that we were having as open dialogue as was necessary as the time was going on. Having said that, don't you believe that based on the comments that were made today, promises that were made today from Dr. Kirkley and others, that we welcome Omega's cooperation, assistance? We're going to need, I mean, from a technical perspective, we start doing these LIDAR testing and things like that. We've got to work hand in hand. Does Omega understand that we're the Commonwealth of Virginia, through this study, is more than willing to enlist Omega every step of the way? Because we are. I don't think there's, although there may be some perception, and sometimes perception is reality. I'll grant that. But I think from what I've heard today, there's every indication that we want Omega as a partner. And you used the term, it was very special to me, sound science. Because when I applied for this job and when I made my first statements, I want to make decisions based on sound science. And I want to get the best science that's available. So I really would hope that Omega understands that from a Commonwealth's perspective, we want you as a working partner. We want the very best information we can get, because if we don't get the best information from all that are involved, the study will be not as good as it possibly could be, and that's not what we're looking for.
Now, please, Mr. Commissioner Bowman, make no mistake. We do agree with everything that you just said. But with what is before you, we have not been included in developing the research agenda. I think when we went into the Memorandum of Understanding with the Governor's Office, it was under the idea that when we get to the point of actually developing a research agenda, we would be in a room with Dr. Kirkley, with other stakeholders, with the Commonwealth, and we would figure out where do we want to go and how do we want to get there together. That has not occurred. Please do not misunderstand our concerns about the proposal in any way being a mistrust of where we want to go. No, that is not the issue. But we have not been asked for our input with what is before you today. That is a concern.
I understand. And I think, after looking at the proposal, I think proposals are also sometimes templates. They're not etched in stone. They're living, breathing, working documents that can be amended, and others that have consideration, the term came up, stakeholders that can involve themselves in accomplishing what we all want to accomplish. And at the end of the day, the bottom line is real simple. Where do we stand as far as the stock in the Menhaden? What good is it doing? How negatively are we impacting? How does it benefit everything across the board, which can only benefit the general public and, as you said, Omega as a whole? So I think that the project is a work in progress, but you got to start somewhere, and I think that's where we are today.
We understand that, but let's do it cooperatively.
No doubt in my
no
mind.
No doubt in anyone's mind.
Mr. Fox.
Ms. Gaston, yes, are you willing to offer from Mega Protein a Virginia resident, non-lawyer, non-lobbyist, who could work with Dr. Kirkley on this project?
Leaks tall buildings in a single man.
maybe half time, something like that.
I think, and Dr. Kirkley can probably concur with something like this. Of course, I would have to go back and discuss it with my client, but I do think there would be someone in mind who could probably very easily work with Dr. Kirkley and meet all those requirements you just put out.
Okay.
I'm two of the three. I'm a non-lawyer.
I won't. Never mind.
Never mind.
Mr. Schick.
Are you satisfied with, you know, as far as if we can do that for us to be able to vote on this today and go forward with it, or are you asking us to delay it so you can work this out, you know, before it comes back to us? Or, you know, what is your request as far as to handle this?
I see a couple of things to answer your question. I mean, I think there are a number of options before you today. I mean, ideally, I would like to go back to my client with what we've discussed today, taking Mr. Fox's proposal, seeing if we could perhaps engage the person who comes to mind and get the company's support of that concept and then come back to you. If not, then, you know, certainly I think reducing the scope somewhat so that we could have more of the stakeholders' interest on the end users of Omega might be helpful. But I think given the information that we've discussed, the price being lowered, and I think that the company will find Mr. Fox's proposal appealing, but I can't stand before you today and represent that to them without discussing it first.
Further comments? Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Great presentation.
I'm still in the room if any other questions come up.
I would hope so.
I'm not leaving.
Dr. Allen, this is at this juncture not a public hearing. I've got one other comment a couple that I need to read. This is from the Honorable L. Preston Bryant, Jr., that was sent to me today. Dear Commissioner Bowman, I've received an inquiry or two regarding the proposed Menhaden research project that is to be considered by the Commission. I thought it might be prudent to provide a bit of background. As you are well aware, there's been years-long concern over the state of the menhaden fishery in the Chesapeake Bay. This concern was prompted largely due to the lack of research conducted to better know this fishery and the impacts to it from recreational and industrial harvest. In the agreement reached last year between the Commonwealth of Virginia and Omega Protein, the principal industrial harvester of menhaden in the bay and nearby Atlantic waters, an agreement that was ratified by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission and reflected this year in the statute of the General Assembly, it is agreed, among other things, that the Commonwealth and Omega would engage in a research partnership. This research partnership would take two forms, ecological and economic. First, there would be a research conducted on harvesting to determine the impact certain harvest levels might play in overall menhaden fishery, for example, recruitment, stock assessment, localized depletion, etc. Second, there would be a complete socioeconomic evaluation conducted to better understand that important non-biological side of the menhaden reduction fishery. The Commonwealth and the Commission and Omega Protein signed a memorandum of understanding that reflects these research elements. That MOU was signed in August of 2006. Regarding the socioeconomic study, Omega Protein suggested that we mutually encourage Dr. James E. Kirkley to lead it. Dr. Kirkley was specifically named in the MOU. The Commonwealth, knowing Dr. Kirkley's professional reputation and his expertise in fishing economics, marine policy, marine resource management, and economic impact analyses, agreed to Omega Protein's suggestion. We likewise believe that he would be a most acceptable choice, and we still do. Dr. Kirkley has proceeded to construct the scope of a socioeconomic study. This office has left the nature and scope of the study in Dr. Kirkley's capable hands, knowing that he would be consulting with other renowned fishery scientists and economists to produce a peer-reviewed product that would meet the goals agreed upon by the Commonwealth, the Commission, and Omega Protein and reflected in our MOU. We see Dr. Kirkley's proposal to the Commission in to be keeping with the MOU. Should you have any questions or desire additional information, please let me know. The Honorable L. Preston Bryant, Jr. Gentlemen of the Commission, this has been a long road. I can remember asking my former Commissioner Bill Pruitt how many times he had ever been in the governor's office during his 23 years, and he said except for an occasional social or an interview, not very many. Well, I was in there two times in the first, I guess, month of office. And I don't know whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, but I think what it was a testament to the dedication of Governor Kane, Secretary Bryant, Assistant Secretary Corbin, Jack Travelstead, and staff, as well as Omega, to address this matter. Our proposal is before you, and there's no doubt in my mind that the principal investigator is one of the best in the world. If he were not, I would not hang my hat on the fact that I would endorse the allocation of this amount of funds toward this project. You've heard Dr. Kirkley indicate that he's worked 5 months already on the project without an indication or an allocation of funding. And I think that this proposal provides us a golden opportunity to obtain the best science possible in the management of a species that is so important to all of us that utilize the Chesapeake Bay one way or the other. And I would encourage a vote on the matter today. That being said, the matter is before the Commission for discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Fox.
Can we vote on the matter today, let's assume we vote positively on the matter today, but direct Dr. Kirkley to work with Omega over the next 30 days to see what modifications, if any, he would make, since the secretary is free to trust in his judgment on what the scope should be.
I don't want to speak for Dr. Kirkley, but I would imagine if he gets the go-ahead today with the funding, that'll be one of the first things that he would be planning on doing is working with the stakeholders and getting with Omega.
Excuse me. Yeah. I was hoping that he might give a written report back to us, we don't need to show up for the next meeting
As to how things are going, a status report?
Well, no. Whether he suggests any modification after working more closely with the Omega Protein. At the same time, Omega Protein would have the opportunity to decide whether they can contribute somebody to the work.
I would welcome working with Omega. I would caution, however, about working too closely with industry or even the rec community or any other stakeholder in terms of establishing what is to be done. Mm-hmm. You risk jeopardizing the credibility of the analysis in the project in doing that. In other words, no offense to Omega, but I would think the first thing they would want off the table is the potential relationship between water quality and menhaden abundance. I'm not saying that they would, but that would be my guess. That is one of the really critical hot-button issues for valuation in this fishery. And it's the same when you start looking at menhaden and prey and recreational angling experience. Other aspects that they wanted strengthened where the proposal might be weak, which I don't want to admit there's weakness in here, but I'm sure there is. That's where I think they could be really influential. I mean, did I miss something in that proposal? Did I do an injustice to something like the healthcare supplement aspect of their business? That's a real humdinger to try to tackle. That's Food and Drug Administration and Center for Disease Control and NIH and everything else that's out there to try to bring that in. But what else did I miss? Those are where I think Omega could be most helpful. I think to offer up an opportunity to not do part of the what we call non-use, non-consumptive use values is an injustice to the project and doesn't address the questions that, at least my understanding, is that the Secretary et al. Wanted addressed.
I understand your question better at this point, Mr. Fox, but did he answer yours?
Yeah,
at that point?
I got it.
Like it's a fine line between good science.
No, I got it.
Any other questions?
I have a
Dr. McConaughey?
Well, I don't have a question.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Dr.
I'm sitting down. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I have all the respect for Dr. Kirkley and his abilities, but as a scientist who's read lots of proposals, this seems to be very vague and it's not really clear exactly what's going to happen in the proposal. And I would suggest that, as Mr. Fox kind of suggested, that there be a little bit more effort in working with all the stakeholders, not just Omega, but some of the other ones, to come together and really nail down what the work plan is going to be. I understand and proposals are in flux, but this one seems to be in more flux than most. And if you read the peer reviews, there were some comments that, you know, it was maybe premature to go ahead with this. Would the workshop that's being funded by NOAA, that's mentioned in here, is going to drive some of the modeling, would it be better to look at that after that workshop has taken place, where we have a better idea of the types of models and things that, and the approach that we're going to use, as opposed to saying, we're going to have a workshop and we're going to come up with some kind of a model. Those are my comments.
Thank you. Comments from the table?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
Given some of the comments we've heard today, it seems that that there is some interest at the board level in having a substantial update, I think, perhaps several months down the road, so that we have a better idea of where exactly what the research is going to look like. Having said that, I don't think that prohibits us from taking action on the matter today, but I think we would like to have some sort of update related to stakeholder involvement, not just Omega, but all the stakeholders, and also understanding that the research agenda has been more solidified, perhaps.
Have a report that is as all-encompassing but yet still scientifically efficable, for lack of a better term. In other words, who's being involved, what's going on, scope and everything in, 60 days, 90 days?
90 days, I think.
Formal motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would offer Well, one more comment first. Yep. I think the research proposal generally, as the Secretary has identified in his letter today, is consistent with the MOU. I do remain concerned about the fact that the stakeholders haven't been involved in the design of the study. I understand Dr. Kirkley's concern about the integrity of the study, et cetera, but what is contemplated in the MOU is a partnership, a research partnership, and I think it's very important that the stakeholders be involved from here on out. And I think Dr. Kirkley's heard that from the board today, and it sounds like he's being responsive and intends to involve them moving forward. So I would offer a motion that we approve staff's recommendation. However, that we require within 90 days a report from Dr. Kirkley summarizing stakeholder involvement in the process and also giving us an updated view of the research agenda.
Okay.
I second the motion.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion?
And just one more point before we vote. In the interest of disclosing ex parte communications, I've been contacted by those for and against today's actions.
I think everyone here at the table from an ex parte perspective, but under the color of law, Carl, are revealing.
This is not a case decision.
Good. Yeah. Good enough.
Point of clarification.
Yes, sir.
Is any of the funding dependent on the report in 60 or 90 days?
I was comfortable with Dr. Kirkley's answer to my question, and okay. So I would not make any of the any of the funding conditional. Okay. But
Mr. Chairman, just as a follow up point, Mr. Chairman, I think this is for the first year's funding,
right?
And we're going to review this again in 12 months as we contemplate the second year of funding, and at that point, I think we'd have a much more thorough understanding of the research agenda, et cetera.
And if we want to do any incentive. Any performance funding, that would come in the last year.
Exactly.
And so we don't have to decide that now.
Spoken like a man from the private sector. Jack, do we need a specific vote on the money involved?
Yes.
So to make sure that I'm clear, it's $50,000 from the recreational fund.
Right.
I'm sorry. From the commercial. Long day. And $284,331 from the recreational fund.
That's correct.
Motion made by Mr. Robbins, second by Mr. Holland. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
No.
Was that one note, yes. Dr. McConaughey? Thank you. Now, should we shift? Let's take about a 5-minute break. And then we'll come and finish up the rec and stuff. Y'all get that straight together.
Are you ready? Go.
Oh God, JT's.
Hey, three fingers.
Yep, that'll work. Let's go.
I don't know what I did with
you. Reconvene the Marine Resources Commission.
All right.
Sonia?
What I'd like to do is continue on first with the Recreational Fishing Advisory Board recommendations of the 19 that they've been reviewing since January. You've already approved one.
Well, rec, you said?
Yeah, we're going to do recreational.
All right.
Staff is recommending 14. The recreational board only did 13. As staff, we would like to add the shark and ray study.
What number is that?
That is N.
N. Are there funds available to fund that study without removing him from somewhere else?
Yes, sir.
What's the rationale?
We feel like it's very important to the management of our shark and ray fishery. Dr. Grubbs is here if you have any questions specific to that study, or if you have any questions about the other project, if you need me to go through the letters or the actual projects, I'd be happy to do
that. No, I'd like to get on the record
in 2 minutes or less why you think this is an important study. Could you come forward, please?
Yes, sir. 2 minutes or less.
Yes, sir.
Dean Grubbs is my name, by the way. Okay. This survey by VIMS is the longest-running fishery independent shark survey on the in the Western Atlantic. Our data has been running since 1973. Our data are used in every federal stock assessment that's conducted. Our data have also been used by this body in coming up with minimum size limits in 1997. Essentially, we have three surveys. The longest running one, 60% of the work is done in Virginia state waters. The other two surveys are 100% in Virginia state waters. And in lieu of the new state management measures that were put in 2005 and the new federal regulations, we need to continue to monitor the abundance, relative abundance, of all the large coastal sharks in Virginia waters. Virginia Chesapeake Bay is the largest nursery in the Western Atlantic for sandbar sharks, which is the species that drives the commercial industry. It's about 60% of the commercial industry. That population reached a minimum, dropped by 80% over the course of the 80s, and then after several management iterations, made a moderate recovery, but that recovery has been halted. And there's been discussion in highly migratory of making it a prohibited species, which I don't think is necessary. We just need to monitor them more closely. In addition, the dusky shark, which is a species, which is our second most common large coastal species, disappeared from Virginia waters in the 90s and is now a prohibited species. And we've actually seen a fairly moderate recovery of that population in the last 5 years. We need to continue to monitor that. Virginia commercial landings contribute roughly 50% of the actual North Atlantic large coastal quota, so it is an important Virginia fishery. We're currently funded by the National Shark Research Consortium, which is a federal appropriation, that and that appropriation has been cut by 60% over the last 2 years, and so essentially all we're asking for is like a 30% supplement, which is essentially vessel time and equipment and field supplies to allow us to continue the Virginia portions of the survey.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Any questions of Dr. Grubbs?
Yes.
Dr. Grubbs? Dr. McConaughey?
Just a comment. Your proposal is well written.
Thank you.
And it's very clear where you're going with it, and I would support your research, although in the era of tight funding, you're going to have more and more problems.
I do recognize that.
Is that in the form of a motion?
That's in the form of a motion.
Second. All right. Second. What we've got before us is we'll go ahead and vote on all of them in a block, including that N, if that was okay with everybody else. I mean, so before the commission is a motion by Dr. McConaughey to approve recreational fishing advisory board items that were approved by the board, letters A through another kind of they're A through S, but there's some missing. But anyway,
yeah, there's some missing.
All right, how about we do this? The motion is to vote to approve all of those that were approved, but by the recreational fishing advisory board. And an additional one, which is item N, which deals with the abundance distribution and biology of sharks. Motion made by Dr. McConaughey, seconded by
me,
by Mr. Fox. Fine. Further discussion. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, Sonia.
Okay. Of the 13 projects, one you've already discussed. So that leaves five other projects, the Cow Nose Ray, the project manager for the Eric Kinses project, the clam project, Wallet Bro assistance, a split funding of the American Eel project, and of course you've already done the $50,000 for Menhaden.
Okay, I'm just trying to...
Those are the staff recommendation projects. Those are continuation projects from last year. A through E. I'm sorry.
I will move items A through E.
Mr. Fox moves items A through E. Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. We'll return now to the regular...